Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, my guest is old friend David Eckhart. David has spent a lot of time investigating reptilians. He's had lots of encounters with them, and he's got a whole bevy of stunning photographs of them. David had developed a technique that has allowed him to be able to take photos, imagery, into a portal, essentially, so he can see what's going on the other side. And he's had pictures like this for a long time, and I believe his pictures are 100% authentic. Some of them are, like I said, quite stunning. You can see entities in them and everything. So today, I'm going to have David back because I want him to give us a full brief on the reptilians and what he knows about them. So without any further ado, David, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
It's always good to talk to you, James. It's always good to talk to you.
It is, it is.
So what do we want to know today that exactly what's on your agenda there?
Well, what I'd like you to do as much as possible, because you've spent so much time with the reptilians, oftentimes as a, pretty much an unwilling guest, if you want to call it that, when they've taken you to their underground lairs, just take us back to the beginning when you first started having these experiences. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You've lived in more than one place, and this phenomenon, if you will, seems to have followed you from one place to another within the state of Florida, correct?
Correct.
Now, as far as you know, compared to the previous place or places that you'd lived, and when you were taken into the reptilian lair, back then, is that the same or a similar lair or underground base that the reptilians are taken have taken you to in the recent past, or is it seem to be a different base entirely, or is it the same group of reptilians that
It's,
are interacting with you now as before? So I'd be interested in knowing that.
okay. Well, this just happened. Well, there used to be the female that was in charge of all the operations at my house. Her name was Beth. We found that out. And I seen her several times. I just didn't know she was the one who was in charge. She's half human, half reptilian. And she did work. Blue jeans and a lab coat and everything else. And this just happened. They was their facility was broken into, and everybody in that facility was unalived. I don't know how many of them was unalived. And these guys were ones that was looking out for me for some reason. They was not supposed to have contact, but the ones that's in control of the facility now, they do not have of the best interest of what they was doing going on. I got pictures of it going on. And in fact, and it's the same people there that took over the facility. But yeah, I got them all pictures of them still operating the Stargate and bringing people in while everybody was getting unalived. It was I'll have to send you those
Yeah,
photos after a bit.
could you define what you mean by unalive?
They was killed. It was I don't know if you're allowed to say that or not. They was broken into and they was shot up and killed. As far as I know, every one of them, because I haven't seen a single one that I'm used to seeing come through. And the ones that are coming through, they're kind of sinister. They're not. They don't have the good intentions, let's just say that. So I don't know exactly what's going on with that situation anymore. I don't know who made it through or who's alive or what, but
Okay,
these guys were
you're talking about
it was
reptilians or human reptilian hybrids that were somewhat friendly or
well
predisposed
there
towards you in
was
the past, and they're no longer around. They've been
there
killed.
was a right this just happened just a couple weeks ago, a week ago, matter of fact. So yeah, there was part, the female that was in charge was half reptilian, half human. And then the other ones, There was different species at the same time. See, this is how it works. They don't share technology with each other. They sell it. They all live in like these corporations, and the corporations takes care of that group that's working for the corporation. They house them, they feed them, and they dedicate their life to that corporation to getting technology or information, because that's what's worth the capital there is. And that's how that's working. That's one of the weak points. That's what we have over. We'll work together. They don't work together. Well, matter of fact, we got a lot of the breakaway society here on Earth, or here, that don't share the technology with us. But you can't give your friends what you don't want your enemies to have, as far as technology goes. But that's how they work, and they even take care of the kids as far as their schooling and everything else.
Yeah,
But
you're
yeah,
talking about.
the ones that had,
Oh, go ahead.
I'm talking about the ones that established the portal to my home. Those ones are no longer around. But the other ones that broke into the facility and killed the rest of them, they're running the show right now. So I don't know where it's going to take us or lead us from there. Are you catching what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
The
from what I
original
understand,
reptilian.
there was an initial group, maybe a subgroup within a larger group, that had responsibility for you and perhaps others, other humans on the surface, when you'd be abducted and taken underground or wherever their lair is. They were kind of a security
Right.
detail that ensured that, you weren't done away with by some of the other creatures down there or in those places.
Well, they wasn't allowed to be contacting me, I guess. They got a hold of me before the bad ones did. The ones with not such good intentions. This is like a group that didn't belong, or didn't follow the same rules as all the other reptilians and species, because the reptilians are running all of these species like it's a Nazi prison camp, and they promote fear all the way through all the other species, because there's multi dimensions and parallel universes that are going on that these reptilians have full control over, and they're working on ours right now as we speak. That's how that's going. They have control of these stargates and portals. The reptilians do. The ones that, okay, let's put it this way. Nobody's ever made it to the top of the food chain without doing something sinister or breaking the rules or anything like that. Nobody or nothing, not even humans. They've never made it to the top of the food chain without breaking the rules, and that's the ones that are trying to infiltrate our realm right now, is the ones that are the elite ones, the ones with all the capital, the one with the biggest corporations. So and the ones that are taking over our government are they're working with them. They're not all reptilians, but they're entities from other domains and everything else that are working for the reptilians that's taking over our government. I would say 40% of our government, the U.S. government, is not even human. And then I would say 40% of the big corporations are not human. And I would say 40% of the big banking systems are not human. And so on and so on. They've done infiltrated every corner that we have. And the ones that they didn't infiltrate, they're blackmailing through the Project Honey Cake. And that would be the Epstein Island deal. Okay. They send them there, they get dirt on them, and then they say, you cooperate or we're going to release this to the world and you guys are going to go down. You're going to go down. So you got to follow the protocol that we're telling you to vote, to follow. And that's what's going on with today's world. But yeah, they have infiltrated every corner of power that there is, and all the money and everything else, even the entertainment business. But hopefully I'm not overstepping my bounds of,
Oh,
freaking anybody out, but that's what's going on.
Yeah, they seem to have taken over key institutions. Well, if not taken them over, maybe even created
Without
a bunch of key institutions in order to assert control and domination. So the female, you called her Beth, that they've since done away
right.
with, did she appear to you as like a half human, half reptilian, dressed in human clothes, like a lab coat? Or did she was shapeshifting between the two? Like she'd look human, perfectly human one moment, and
Right.
then shapeshift into a reptilian the next.
I no, she was a, I don't know, she could shapeshift or not, but yeah, her skin was like a grayish color. She wore clothes like we do. She presented herself more human than reptilian, but you could tell she was reptilian, without all the heavy features that a reptilian has, and she wasn't as tall as they are. She's more as tall as a human. She said that I belong to her, so I was her project, I guess, but evidently, but yeah, she protected me all the way up to this point here, so she doesn't have control anymore. More, which is kind of really weird. I know what this all sounds like when I'm saying it, but this is what's going on in my world, okay? So, this is
Now,
eyewitness stuff.
when you first
But yeah, I've
realized that
been,
you were
and this
being,
group right here would lease out.
oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I wasn't gonna say nothing.
Oh, I was just
When I first
wondering.
realized when I was.
Go ahead.
I was just replying. When I first realized when I was being abducted or dealing with these guys, it took me a while to find out which group or who I was dealing with. It took me a while, but I figured it out. But when they first started taking me, they took me and my wife, at the same time. That the one that I remember, they took me and my wife. We was listening to what was going on and, things were going on and growling and all kinds of weird stuff. I have a portal audio out there that people can listen to, but and then I asked them, which is a dumb question, if it was good or bad. And then within 3 seconds after that, we started vibrating from the feet all the way up to our torso, up to our body, and all the way to the head. And it was like it felt good. But we was felt like you were Limp Bizkit, and you knew what was going on, but you just didn't care. And I was like, but I cared enough because I didn't know what was going on. But then as soon as that happened, they came in the bedroom and they picked me and my wife up out of bed, and we was able to talk back and forth to each other through our teeth. It's like, you feel that? Yeah. She's like, what's going on? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. But this is how strong the reptilians are. They was carrying me up underneath the armpits, with their arms stretched out in front of them, like they didn't want to touch us, but it was carrying me straight out, like I weighed nothing to them. And then they carried us through this portal, or Stargate. I think it was the Stargate, because Stargate's intelligent, made in a portal is a natural phenomenon. They had guards with them, and they had like three of them on each side of us, and it was marching us through this portal, and you couldn't tell which was up or which was down. It was like pitch black in there, but whatever was in there, they didn't like it themselves. And the guards were like rushing us through. There was three of them on each side, and up ahead in the distance, I could see a light, looked like a doorway, and we came out to this airplane field. It looked like an old airplane field, military, and there was like these cubicle buildings on the side of these big airplane hangars, and they took us in there, and then there was like a reptilian doctor. He had blue scrubs on, and you could see his face from underneath, his eyes, and he was bigger built than a human. And they carried me right past that guy to the next room, which was identical to the first room that they carried me through, but just in reverse. And they laid me down on a stainless steel table. I'm imagining they put my wife on the first table or the first room that came in. And I remember shining the light in my face, and feel the heat coming off the lamp, and I heard him talking, and the next thing you know, I was waking up in my bed, and it was the next morning. But the funny thing is me and my wife, we didn't even talk about this that it happened until I was halfway to work, and it all came to me, rushed to me in my head that this happened that night. And so I called my wife up and I asked her if she remembered last night. And she's like, "Oh my God, yeah, I remember." And I says, "Did that really happen?" She says, "Yeah." I almost started throwing up, because it was like, this stuff ain't supposed to be happening. And so, but we talked a little bit more about it later on. But I had another incident that we didn't talk about for years after it happened. Was a praying mantis looking guy was doing something to me, like some kind of surgery. But I woke up to the clanking of metal on a tray, and there was two reptilians on each side of this praying mantis looking thing. It moved like a robot, and it was like lime green, and I don't know what it was doing, but we didn't talk about that for years later. But I told my wife, I said, "You was letting that go on, you was letting them do that to me." But I didn't do nothing, even though I woke up, but anyway, but that was the first time that I recall them taking me. Like the times after that, they started taking me by myself, and they was took me to a room, and they measured every square inch of my body, and they checked me over every square inch of my body. And then they would bring me back, and then I had this rheumatoid arthritis that was really wreaking havoc on me. There's nothing the doctor could do for me. She told me I needed to quit work because I was going to end up in a wheelchair. And then the pain was just unreal. And these guys took it upon themselves, and they had to go through like three different channels to okay the surgery. But the final guy said, "Yeah, let's do it." And I didn't know what they was doing at the time, but they took me, and it was a week's worth of surgery. And they just kept taking me every night. And I told my wife, I said, "I don't know what they're doing to me, but they're doing something to me." It says, "If I wind up dead or not coming back," it says, "this is what happened." Okay. It says, "Nothing else happened." And she was all upset about that. But, about one, yeah, it only took about 7 days for all the surgery to happen. And I can tell you in detail on that, how it all happened. But, I don't have no more problems with rheumatoid arthritis. And people just don't recover from rheumatoid arthritis, okay? It can go into remission for, 7 years, and then it comes right back. But it's been way over 7 years now. So I have no problem. I feel like I'm 20 years old all the time. I feel good. I can outwork everybody, But so
Could
they
you
did good for me.
tell me a bit about what those procedures were like that helped you get over the rheumatoid arthritis?
Yeah, they took me apart piece by piece, and they would when the first surgery would start, they're like, if they was working on my legs, they would remove all the hair off of one side of my leg and transplant it on the other leg. And then they couldn't save the first layer of skin, evidently, but they had this thing that looked like a bunch of needles, and it would run it across the skin, and it would just like curl up like curly fries. And then they had these things that looked like leeches. It looks a little barbaric, but the leeches were eating off the skin that they, the first layer, and then it was just all fresh skin up underneath there. And then they would start making incisions and taking it apart, getting down to the bone. They would just take all the meat off of one leg and put everything on a tray, numbered. And I'm watching this going on, and then they would start separating the bone from my body, and then they go in there, and they was you see them grinding on the bones and bone dust in the air, and you can smell it. And they're talking back and forth, and they're serious about what they're doing, and they're like on a time limit too, because they know what time they had to have them back. So,
And the ones that were working on you, they appear to be reptilians, the ones that were working on you.
correct, yeah, females and males and everything else, the younger ones, and they was doing all the working, but yeah, you couldn't feel no pain, but you could feel the pressure when it separating the bone and even breaking it and stuff away from the body. And when they put you back together, they would go all in reverse, that once they got the bones repaired, that immune disease that it deteriorates your bones and everything, and your body attacks itself. And but when they put you back together piece by piece, you know, exactly the way they took you apart, you know, to get everything numbered. And then the final process is they had this beaker. It had this like clear looking, grayish looking gel that they would dump on the leg, or whatever part of the body they was working on. And within 12 hours after that, you know, I'd wake up in the morning, my leg would be like blood red. I mean, just blood red. And by halfway through the day at work, it would be like brand new again, you know. But you know, they put the hair back in the skin, and no scars, no scars. But when I get under UV light, you can see scarring, which is kind of amazing. It looks like I had open heart surgery, but and had everything else removed. But they did the whole thing. When he was working on my other leg, when they took me, I said to myself, if this isn't real, it's not going to matter if I get up and walk out of here. And that's what I did. I got off the operating table, and these guys listen to like Beethoven and stuff when they're doing the surgery, believe it or not. And I got up, and they all the doctors stood back, and I just walked out of the room, and I didn't have no meat on my, it was just bone. And I'm hobbling down this hallway. I did not know where I was going or anything. And I'd seen this bench at the end of the hallway I was going down, and it was kind of dark. And I was naked, and I just curled up behind the bench, and they came and got me, and they took me back and cleaned me all up and finished the surgery. But the next time I went in there, the doctors made a joke and says, he's not going to get up on us again, is he? And they said, no, they started velcroing me down to the table. I swear to God. But yeah, they velcroed me down, and so I wouldn't be able to get up. But I could still see what was going on, but I got to watch all the surgeries, everything. It's like, and everything I was doing. But to this day, I still feel great. I feel great. No pain or anything like that. So, that it was pretty important to them to fix me. Because,
Where were you living at the
whatever I might
time?
do, I don't know.
Where were you living at the time?
I'm sorry.
Where were you living at the time?
I was living at the Milton House. Yeah, I was living at the Milton House, where this all first started.
Where is
That
that? What
that's where
city?
I was at.
What
That
part of
was
Florida
Milton,
was that?
Florida. It was right outside of Pensacola.
Right outside
I'm
of
sorry.
Pensacola. It's right outside of Pensacola.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I bought a great big house out there in Tanglewood Golf Course, and I was surrounded by 17 acres of woods. I had to go pontoon and everything. Just a beautiful place. And that's where it all started taking place. And on my website, I got pictures of the house and everything on the house on my website on TikTok. But yeah, just a beautiful place. And I had no neighbors then, but I knew they was going to develop around the house sooner or later. So, but yeah, when I ended up moving out of there, they was already halfway through the development of it. So, but I mainly bought the house for investment, but it was a beautiful home. So, but you know what? This is the funny thing is there's been five different families that lived in that house since I moved out. They don't stay there very long. So I think something's still going on there. But
Well, it sounds like it.
I haven't
And
talked to nobody, but
how far, what's the distance between that place and where you live now?
about 18 miles, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, about 18 miles.
So as far as you
So,
know, the realm, the domain, the base that they're taking you to is the same one that they were taking you to in your previous house when all this started.
right. Well, they've taken me to other places too, and one of the places was underwater. I was amazed by it. It was very muddy down there, and I was more interested in how they was holding back the water because they created like a bubble around this. It was like a place that had old ruins down there, and they had a lot of humans down there removing mud. They had wheelbarrows, and there was just shoveling away mud, and things were still dripping. So they must have just started it, and they had a tower down there that they was running everything from a central unit. And I'm like, what am I doing here? But they walked me into this facility and left me there for somebody else to pick me up and take me somewhere else. But I was watching this one reptilian, because it was like in a boiler room or whatever it was in there. And he had a baby, a human baby, stashed up in one of these like boiler things. And he had a little girl with him. And he pulled this baby out. It was in, wrapped up in a blue blanket. And he kept pushing it to the little girl. She must have been about 9 or 10 years old. And he kept pushing the baby to her, because he wanted, you know, a baby will die if it doesn't receive any kind of love or anything like that. So that's what I'm guessing was the deal. But he kept pushing this baby into this little girl's arms and everything, and she wouldn't take it. And then he started smacking her around and stuff, and then she took it. And I'm over there, you know, across the room in this boiler room or whatever it was, watching this whole thing. He didn't even know I was there. And then the other, some other two reptilians came in and took me. There's a lot of security points there too. They always stop and check us out and everything. But, yeah, they took me out of that place and took me to some other place that was underground. I don't know if it was up underneath the same place I was at or somewhere else, but, yeah, that's another story there, but yeah, it was, they had like an airport thing going down under the ground. It was like, they had a big, like, Stargate system going on with three, like, opening portals that was opened up. And, they had me and this other guy and this, like, blue beam. And it looked like, it's all I can describe, but it felt like it was in, like, wet cement, you know, like, it's the only way I can describe it. And I'm watching these people come in on these, like, subway cars and they were reptilians. Now, worker species kind of reptilians are kind of shorter. There was people down there eating like in a, they had like round tables in there, and they had like a food court off to one side. And I was watching these people walking through these stargates, and they would dial up another one, and another one show up, and another group would walk in, like they was going on vacation or something, it looked like, because it wasn't all military. But and then they had, these carvings into the stone down there, they were like divider walls, and they had like battle scenes carved into the rock, of like old, castles and stuff. And they was like, the battle scenes looked like they was fighting, humans, you know, like with the knights, and, you know, that's what it looked like to me. It was beautiful artwork. That was for sure. But, they was bringing them in on, it looked like 1980s subway cars that had no glass in it. Like somebody took all the glass out of it, and all these workers would get off of this thing and go into the Stargate. And it was pretty interesting. I was just wondering how that Stargate was working, because they had a big, like, device up underneath these, grates that these they would walk on before they go into the Stargate. And it was like, yeah, it was three of them all side by side. And it was just, I don't know who was running it or what, but you could hear it humming too. So that was happening with that. So,
but, you mentioned that grating thing. Was that some kind of, like ramp, to and from, the portals?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was to get them up to the portal. And up underneath those grates was that device that was humming, which I was assuming that was running the power for the Stargates. And it really doesn't take all that much power to open up a Stargate, especially if you open up micro wormholes or Stargates, because they come in all different sizes. But these ones were huge. I would say, yeah, there was at least 20 foot tall by maybe 30 foot, and there was three of them, and it was like in a half a U circle going around, and it was just kept dialing up and changing. Some would come through, some would go out.
Would it be like the top half of a hemisphere? If you said like a half U, would it be like an inverted U and kind of like an archway?
Yeah, it had an archway to it, and it dove into the rock, like it was carved out, you know, the solid rock. And it was, and it looked like big screens that was going on. And when I mean, there's all different places that were showing up, and some of the places looked like it was here on Earth, and they could have been other dimensions as well, because there's a lot of different dimensions, or parallel universes or whatever is going on. But and these guys originally, everybody's sort of like, this in this like fourth dimensional kind of realm. That's why it's so hard to get a clear picture of them, or a UFO, or a clear picture of Bigfoot, because the fourth dimensional entities, and we have three dimensional cameras, and we're trying to take pictures of them. And I have kind of cleared it up a little bit with some of my devices I came up with. And I thought I came up with it, but it's the Kashmir mirror. It was invented by a Russian scientist in the 1920s, and he patented it, but I thought I came up with it. But NASA uses it to look at distant planets, the same technique that I'm using. The object is to slow down the speed of light when you're trying to capture an image of these guys. If not, they just look, with the invisibility going on, it makes them virtually almost impossible to see, but you can smell them and everything. But I have broken that threshold. It's taken me a while, and I used several different devices to do it. The best device I found to use it, if you look in the room through a diamond, and it's not the diamond itself, it's the way it's cut, because of the way it lets the light in, that makes it easier to see these guys. But soon, everybody's going to get to meet them. They won't be hiding no more.
Yes, that's
Okay,
my
soon.
impression that at some point they're going to make their presence known because they will
Yeah,
feel so
absolutely.
comfortable and so in charge by that point. They'll have the service population, what's left of them, running around like headless chickens. Now, describe to me, you
Absolutely.
said that the Stargates were like a half U, kind of a inverted half U, kind of like a big arch. And you said that
Well,
it took on the appearance almost like a screen, like a TV screen.
right. It's the area that these big ones were at was carved into the rock, like a half a U, like a half a circle. But the screens that like they was going through the portals, those were square looking, the big squares. But it was carved into the rock where this airport looking Stargate system was at. That's what it reminded me of. It was arched out, in the rock, and arched in. I would say that, and inside that arch was the grates, and up beneath the grates was a big brown device that was humming. And then the Stargates, or the portals that they was walking through, look like flat TV screens, big ones, really big ones. Those were, they didn't even need to be that big for, the size of the people that was going through it. But, those were square, but there are, portals that open up round and oval, all different shapes and sizes. These, Stargates open up, and they don't always get them right neither, because some of them open up halfway between the floor and in the ground.
No.
And they had to crawl out of these things sometimes. But that's showed my room that, yeah, the Stargate never opened up in the exact same spot in my room or my home. I got two of them that open up in my room. I got two of them that open up in my bathroom, one in my dining room, and one, I think there's one in my living room too. But and they never open up in the same spot, never. And sometimes they got a code that you got to go through in order to get into it, to go through it. And I've never been able to go in through it myself without them taking me, but I have been able to walk, run out of one by myself. Maybe because I'm already vibrating at the 7.3 or 7.8 megahertz that our realm, our third dimension is vibrating at, our planet,
Yeah, the Schumann
where
resonance.
we come from. That's what we vibrate at that frequency. And just because it's a fourth dimension doesn't mean it's a higher frequency or a higher realm. although you can see the future, the past, and the present all at one time happen, all at the same time. And you can see somebody's thoughts. So you got to be very responsible for what you're thinking about on the other side, or you get in trouble. If you're thinking about killing somebody or something else, you have to learn how to control your thinking, or you're gonna get caught. Or if you're gonna steal something from somebody. But that's the main thing. So they're able to see our past, our present, and our future. Well, they're there in the fourth dimension, because they have showed me our future and everything that's going on right now. They showed it to me, many years ago, over a decade ago. They showed it to me, and the big one's yet to come. And it has to deal with that missing Malaysian airliner. So, but they want to do away with nuclear weapons, because that's the only thing we have to fight them with that would be substantial. And they don't want to ruin this place because there's too many reptilians that got their capital invested in this place. So they could all have yards the size of Texas, but once they do away with all of us, and they've taken over without firing a single shot. It's genius how they're doing it. Ingenious. And they're using the Bible prophecies, so everybody will lay down and take it. They are. It's ingenious how they're doing it. Everything that's happening right now does not have to happen this way. And is the planet shifting and changing? Yeah, I believe it is. I totally believe that things are changing. And I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to their psychic abilities and everything else. And at least I know 50% of the population is doing this. And I think that has to do with the frequency of the planet changing, or this realm, or whatever you call it, because I'm not for sure if this is a planet or if it's a computer program or a realm, because everything's just too perfect. I can't explain it. How things like these other entities are like, I can call them the architects, like they got us in this cage or prison planet that we're on, because you're not allowed to leave. You can't dig your way out. You can't fly your way out without them shooting you down. So we're stuck here no matter what. And then I just got this news the other day from that NASA, is going to scrub all what do you call it,
Moon missions.
missions to the moon, because we're worried about destroying the moon. We don't want to destroy any place that we don't live,
Yeah.
So, but if I don't think they ever been to the moon. I really don't know if they've been there or not. And I skydive, so I never seen the curvature of the Earth. So I still can't tell you if it's and the mathematics don't add up, because in 3 miles the Earth curves 2 feet in 3 miles. So I never seen no curve to it. I'm not saying that it isn't there. I'm saying I never seen it. So I'm not sure what's all going on with all that,
Well, the moon
and
seems to be some
I
kind
can
of
tell you something
alien
else.
base. I'm sorry, what was that?
This could be. Oh, I was going to talk about the reptilian tankers that come by to dump these gases on us to keep everybody asleep.
Yeah, well, tell me about
Any
that. Like, what have you been
advancing.
seeing?
I've been seeing these for years now, these crafts that were just about 300 feet off the ground, and I never knew what they were, and it was hard to make out exactly what they looked like until somebody got actual pictures of these things. And they're dumping five different kinds of gases on us, and how we know that is because the color of the gases that they're dumping out on us. But I'm assuming that's what's keeping us asleep, or and dumbed down. Any advancing technological community that's moving forward with technology, they slow us down by dumping this gas on us, and everybody's oblivious to it. It just blows my mind that nobody sees them. I don't know why I see them.
You think
Maybe because I
they're
work
either
at, because I used to not see them.
you think they're like operating in a perceptual frequency bandwidth that you can see because of your connection to them and whatever they might have done to modify you, so to speak.
It could be that, And I forced myself to learn to see them because when this first started happening, we thought they was ghosts. And then as the time went on, I started realizing that every experiment I did, they could compensate for, which told me that they're highly intelligent. And then one day I was working out in my pole barn in the morning time, about 9:30. I came in the house to go use the restroom in my master bedroom. Right in front of my TV was an oval shaped hole, and it didn't even dawn on me that I was looking down inside this hole. But I was looking down there. They had like movie cameras down there. They had concrete floors, and it was painted with lines where you could walk, where you couldn't walk. And they had a cubicle type deal of every room in my house, all stacked up against this wall. And these people that my wife got a picture of, some people that looked like they was from the 1930s or the flamboyant 30s, but they always looked messed up. She got it on Polaroid, and it was from a second story window. And then I seen them down and dressed up the same exact way, but they was reptilians, and that's why they looked messed up to me, because they was reptilians and they was dressed up like this from the 1930s, like just trying to fool us.
You mean
And
like fedoras and
I got
suits
so
and.
mad, I started screaming that they're not ghosts. And everybody's like, "Settle down, baby, settle down. They're not ghosts."
So
And
you walked
that
in
just blew my
there.
mind that they had like cameras down there.
So
Yeah, in
you.
my bedroom, and right in front of my TV was an oval shaped portal open, and it was probably about 3 foot by 2 foot, and I could look down inside of it. It was right in front of where my TV set was, and I stopped and I was looking down inside there, and all this stuff was going on. Like everything was planned. No wonder, they're intelligent. The reptilians, it's like it blew my mind that they was actually reptilians, because I didn't know nothing about reptilians at that time. That's when this stuff first started happening. I was thinking it was poltergeist ghosts, and I just didn't believe in ghosts at the time. I really didn't. I didn't have time to think about it. Really. Once I found that out, it's like everything changed from there. Then I started was able to start getting pictures of them and stuff. So I was just upset because they had me believing something was eating our fish too. I mean, they would strip all the flesh off of our fish, and there'd be skeletons on the bottom of the fish tank in one piece, skeletons, but no flesh on them. This had happened overnight. The only thing that would survive it was a snail
Oh, jeez.
that
Well, those snails and
we
fish
had.
tanks, they're resilient.
Yeah, we had a kid getting fish, so because they was eating them, man, they was eating them. I don't know how they was doing it, but all the flesh would be gone, and the water would be like a milky gray looking. It was like, what the hell was
Oh,
going
that's
on?
terrible. Well,
They was eating the damn fish. So we quit buying fish after the third time, and that happened. And I was gonna set up a camera, but I should probably still do that. I could probably catch some pretty good footage doing that. But yeah, something was eating it. I don't know who was, but the reptilians do eat rotten fish. They do that. So one was in my bedroom eating one. It looked like a tuna, and it was smelled really bad. Oh my God, it smelled really bad. So,
like it
and
was already like decomposing or was starting to go
yeah,
off.
yeah. Yeah, it reminded me of like those Komodo dragons, or those those Komodo
Monitor
dragons that's
lizards.
on those islands
Yeah,
that,
Komodo dragons
yeah,
in Indonesia.
yeah, and they eat their food rotting, and that's what these guys do. Although they even eat humans too. Babies is a delicacy on the side, because the bones are still soft, and the meat's tender, so babies are the delicacy. And plus, I think it has to do with a lot of life extension technology in there, because I find out if you do blood transfusion from a baby to a full grown human, it actually reverses their aging. That's the fountain of youth right there. That's the
Yeah,
secret for longevity.
that's what a lot of these so-called elite and rich athletes do, is they have this network set up so they can obtain children's blood if memory serves. I'm not going to mention his name, but
Yeah,
this big time athlete that got into a scandal. He was known to have a very prickly aggressive personality, but he was one of the ones that apparently was doing this. He was having himself, getting transfusions of children's blood that even made it to the mainstream news before it was, shut down.
Wow.
Now, this reptilian domain you'd been to, do you have a in your mind's eye, do you have at least the parts that you've been to? Do you have kind of a layout? Like, do you find yourself initially, say, in the Stargate room, or you could come to an awareness almost anywhere in this place without, like, especially if you're unconscious and then suddenly you come to an awareness, you could be in any part of the facility or the domain. But over time, did you start to recognize certain places besides the Stargate room? And you're like, could you give our listeners and viewers a kind of a word picture of the layout? You've done that before on my show, talking about some of the technology that deliquefied the victims, let's say, and then after they got all the bodily fluids out of them, what have you, whatever they wanted to extract, then they had this device that flattened them out, right? I mean, and then disposed of the
No, it was okay.
what's that?
I think you're talking about the clean room or whatever you want to call it, where they took me in. The clean room is where they you can dissect somebody and when you're done, you can hose them down a drain pretty much. But they take me awake and I usually go back asleep. I mean, I'm fully awake when they take me, and sometimes I'm walking around on my own 2 feet in that in the facilities and following a group of them and wherever they're taking me, and we go through a lot of security points. But yeah, the place that they took me there is that seemed to be a some kind of laboratory or something, because I was watching what was going on. I was looking at all the stuff that they had, and they had tiles on the ceiling in this facility, and tiles on the wall and towel on the floor, and had the doors where you can open up with your hip, like the old school building doors. And they had a reptilian doctors in this room. I was getting pissed off because like somebody's feeding these guys this stuff. I was like, get mad. And they put me on the stainless steel table, and I was watching the doctors, reptilian doctors. There was a behind another door that had glass on it, and had that metal wire in that glass, and they was talking back and forth, and I'm looking over at this window and I'm seeing colors going by the window, and I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm looking at it, and I looked over at the doctors to see if they was paying attention. So I eased off the stainless steel bed, and I went over to this window, and I had to stand on my tippy toes to look up out it, and I could see up above there was a bunch of humans up there, and they looked like it was like sick or malnutrition. They had dark rings around the eyes, and they had a bunch of like hand-me-down clothing, like corduroy pants on and flannel shirts and jackets. It kind of dressed like they was warm. And I don't know if somebody was pushing them or if they was jumping them, but as the body was coming down, it was passing through by the window. That's the colors I was seeing. It was their clothing, and these conduit things were coming out of the wall and jabbing up on each side of the inner leg. And it would vacuum all the fluid out of them, blood and whatever. And they pretty much looked like a mummy after that. And they finished going down to the floor. And these conduit things were moving pretty fast. And down on the bottom floor, there was like six of these big burning furnaces. And it was hot. And they opened up the doors. And I had a thing that was moving across the ceiling, like a half moon shape. And it was silver. And it was like vacuum up a pile of bodies that was coming off the top of this thing of human bodies, and then carried over to close to one of these worker reptilian kind of guys, and they was throwing the bodies in these burners, and you could see the it was hot because the light from the heat was coming off of it, and lighting these guys up, making them you could see the orange off of it, let's just say that, off of their skin. And they were just tossing these bodies in as fast as they could, and there was a lot of them coming down. I don't know why they was killing them or they was committing suicide. I don't know what was going on, but I don't know if there was defects or what was going on. It just, and there was a big expanse of underground facility. But and then I ran him back over and got onto the stainless steel bed, and I knew the doctors knew I was off the bed. But then they bring my wife in, and they carry her over to the corner and threw her down on the floor. And then the doctors came into the room, and then they walked over to her, and they were kind of kicking around with their feet, but she was like unconscious. And I'm like, oh God, what's gonna happen, and then next thing you know, I'm waking back up, and so I'm in my room again. So whatever happened, they brought me back. I don't remember anything after that. But I remember that very well. When you're there, it's not a dream because you can smell everything, you can touch everything, you can get hurt. It's like, it's like, a lot of people could say, oh, he's just dreaming this stuff. No, it's not a dream. It's not a dream. Because I could write stuff down on myself with a black magic marker while I'm there, and it'll be on me when I get back, And I would write messages on me when they was doing surgery on me, like cut here, I would see if I get a message back and stuff. I would write stuff on myself, or I would write stuff on myself while I was there so I wouldn't forget things, So lots of
Well,
going on, and they have a bullet train down there too. A bullet train. It was like in some tunnels, huge, huge tunnels, and it was parked over to one side, and it was like a four-way down to there, and the bullet train was like super shiny black and had gold trim on it. It was really pretty. And they carried me up to right up next to it into a facility. And they laid me down on a table down on there, and I could hear my wife in the background calling out my name. And I knew she was gonna be okay because so far at that point they haven't really hurt us. They've helped me. And but she was moaning out my name and stuff. So but I was looking for anything I could take, and everything was fastened down, or you couldn't get it. You could not take it. But there's a lot of antiques down there. A lot of antiques, like old clocks and old, it was not a Model A Ford that was down there too. Once you crank up in the front to start it up, they had regular trains down there as well. They was moving things around. I don't know why they don't use these portals all the time, but they use the train systems. I know they like our personal vehicles that we have. They wish they had them, but we live way better than they do. Anybody that I've ever seen, we live way better than they do here in the United States, at least. They don't have houses like we have. They have like quarters and stuff, like the divider walls and stuff that they'll keep their people living in that works for the corporation. And they'll live in those things. So we live way better. We live way better. And, but not for long because they're taking over now. Things are going to change.
Well, hold that thought. We've reached the end of the first segment. Thank you for sharing what you have thus far,
Okay.
David. Can you let our listeners and viewers know how they could find you on Facebook and TikTok and whatever other social media platforms you're on?
I'm on TikTok, and that it takes all my time to operate that, and it's under Eckhart David, the number two. That's where you find me and all my photographs and everything else. And some of the photographs are hard to see, I admit, but some of them are perfectly clear where you can see. And I got frame by frame. I take pictures mostly because when I take video, the quality just drops out. So when I take pictures, the quality is a little bit more there. So it makes the picture a little bit more clear if whatever goes there and checks it out. But lots of cool stuff. I have some stories down there, and a lot of the pictures I talk about there. Oh shit, I'm shutting down. Give me one moment. Wow. Can't believe it's shutting down.